we'll watch that every couple of weeks. But that's what we want to do. We want to get back to the basics of our faith, of our salvation, learn some of the lessons that we learned in Sunday school. And last week we looked at the word inspiration and the importance of inspiration, the importance of the inspiration of God breathing out. That's what the word inspiration, theopneustos, we said was the Greek word, if God breathed out his word to human writers. And we said there was several different views. The liberal view, which says the word of God contains part of God's word. They don't believe, they look at it as being all myths, all legends and fairy tales. But in the midst of all that, you might find some pieces of God's word. And then you have the other side is Christianity, the conservatives, the believe people who look at the word of God and say the whole Bible is God's inspired word. And then kind of in the middle, maybe moving a little bit more towards Christianity, was the group Neo-Orthodoxy. And we explained what all that was. And we said anytime you take the word neo, it means to be improved or modified or new. And anytime you take the word of God and you try to modify it, you're wrong. But the Neo-Orthodoxy kind of looked at the Bible and said, it becomes the word of God. It's not the word of God when you just read it until God takes it and takes a particular passage, then it becomes the word of God to you. And they looked a lot more over science, over trust and faith. So both of those, Neo-Orthodoxy and liberalism, obviously is wrong. But we're looking at the word of God as being God's literal word. And part of that is what we're going to be looking at this morning is in Genesis chapter 1, is the 6 days of creation. It actually goes through chapter 2. But we live in a world where people would say, especially the liberals and maybe even some of the neo-orthodox people would say, God's just kind of giving us a story there about creation. He didn't mean that he created it in 6 days. And there's a lot of Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who kind of look at, they'll believe parts of creation, but they're also tied into evolution. They're not sure how the world began, but it possibly began with a big explosion, but then God intervened in some way. We're throwing all that out. As Christians, we don't believe any of the evolution stuff. We believe that God created it in 6 literal days. And one of my favorite illustrations, and I'm sure you've all heard it, is if you could, the old time watches or clocks, we don't have, everything's electronic now, but picture an old time clock with the, like one back there with hands and numbers and springs and all that. And you take everything out of that, take it all apart, throw it in a bag and shake the bag. You could shake the bag for 1 million years and keep pouring it out. You'll never, ever, ever have the clock looking the same. You might have some springs hanging on the hands of the dial, but it would never reassemble itself back into a clock again. And there are people who believe that the world that we know came from nothing. That's what the liberals believe. But behind our world of intelligent design, and I have that in your notes, is an intelligent designer. We believe that it was God who brought this all together out of nothing. It didn't explode, but we're going to be looking at these days. And again, my intention here this morning is not to teach you anything new. It's not for you to say, oh, wow, I never saw that. Pastor Ron is so smart. No, we're not going to be looking at that. We just want you to understand that the world tells us one thing, and it's nothing like we're going to read this morning. They believe, again, in the Big Bang and that it all came from nothing. But let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Lord, we're thankful this morning for your word. We're thankful that you gave it, you inspired it, and it came right from you. It's not man's thoughts. It's not man's views, as we said last week as we watched that little video of the communication game of how things can change from the start of a line to the very end of the line, over through 8 or 9 people, how the story changes. And if that was the case from writer to writer, they just put their thoughts and what they observed, Lord, the word would be completely erroneous, and it wouldn't be any good to us. But you gave us your inspired word, and we're grateful for that. Bless our time now as we look at it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this thought. Someone had this on this week, and I just copied it and pasted it. Someone had it on Facebook. The Bible doesn't work like Facebook, where your likes or opinions matter. God's word is true, whether you agree with it or not. And that's kind of where we're standing on this word of inspiration. We're going to talk this morning about the six literal days of creation. Whether you agree with it or not really does not matter. God said it, and I believe it. And I believe we don't need to be ashamed in our world where people would say, if you believe that stuff, you're crazy, you're stupid, you're out of your mind. Again, who's the one that takes more faith? Believing that everything we see came from nothing, or believing that an intelligent designer designed it exactly the way we see it? By the way, we're going to explain this a little bit. I believe in the six literal days. I don't believe a day represented 1,000 years like some people. I believe it was six literal days, and then God rested on the seventh. So day one. And again, these are in your notes. Nothing new, nothing surprising here, but read with me or follow along with me as I read verses 1 to 5 of Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. On this day, God created the heavens and the earth. God created light. God created time as we know it. Again, a 24-hour day. He said he called the day light, or light day, and the darkness he called night. And people believe that the world literally spun. In the very beginning, God created it. The world at that point was completely dark. At that point, there was no light. It says it was void and darkness was over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. So you read that. God said, let there be light. What was the light? God didn't create the sun, moon, and stars until day four. So people look at this and say, well, God obviously has it wrong. He didn't. There's no way that there was light if he didn't create the sun and moon and stars. There's different thoughts as to that, and I don't know. I wasn't there. Russ was a lot closer to creation time than I was. But I don't know, and Russ doesn't know. But we're not stuck on that, because many theologians say that God himself was the light. We don't know what it was, but we know the earth rotated for a 24-hour period, that there was light and there was darkness. But again, possibly it was God who himself was the source of the light. Don't get hung up with that. There's people, again, who would look at that and say, they just assumed it's the sun and the moon and the stars. I've had people tell me that. Well, it was the sun. God created the sun. No, he doesn't do that until day four. So what is it? Don't be afraid that we don't have all the answers, that we don't know for certain what happened, but God is light. The Bible tells us that. He is the way, the truth, and the life, but he is light. So perhaps it was God himself, but whatever it was, whatever was the source of the light was enough for the first 3 days. Day two. Read with me in verses 6 to 8. We're going to go through this fairly quickly. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. We went through this last year in our kids program. I remember sitting, having all the kids up front as I taught them, when we went through the days of creation. And we spent maybe 2 weeks on each particular day. So day one, we spent a couple weeks. Day two, we spent a couple, and we had kids looking at other parts of Scripture. We're going through it really quickly this morning. But we're just, again, not trying to teach you anything new. But we know, we just simply read that God separated the waters above from the waters below. And people said, and again, this is theologians, that the world at that point was kind of like a greenhouse. It had a canopy of water above it. And again, he was the source of the light. So it was warm enough. It was going to be warm enough. And each day, as you're going to see this, was culminating for the big day when he created life. All right, so he's preparing the world to sustain life. But You might have noticed this as we read through this. Each day, he says it was good. but in day two, in verse 4, it says, and God saw that the light was good. In day 2, he doesn't say anything about it being good. Why is that? And maybe you've never noticed that before, but some theologians say it this way. They believe it was because day 2 was a day of division. He was dividing the water above from the water below, and that God himself is a God of unity. I don't know, but that's a good enough explanation for me. God said it. I believe it. He didn't say it was good, but we know, don't think that day 2 wasn't good, because at the end he says he looks at everything and everything was good. So it wasn't that day 2 was a bad day and God made a mistake. He just didn't say it was good, possibly because he had divided everything. Again, I'm just giving you one of the answers that's out there. I don't know exactly why he doesn't say it, but we know that that day was good. But perhaps it was because he divided that day. Day 3, the third day, read with me verses 9 to 13. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. On the third day, God created the dry land. God divided the seas. God made the rivers and the lakes and the plants and the trees. And it's interesting, since we were at our national park tour last summer, she'll walk in and the dog will be laying next to me and she'll say, oh, Murphy, Dad's watching another national parks TV show. There's several out there. There's ones on Yosemite. There's ones on Yellowstone and all those. And I just have been watching them since we were there. It's been neat kind of seeing places that we were. But it's showing the animal life. And in every single one of them, they talk about the millions of years of development. You probably watch shows like that. And it just talks about these trees have been around for, 10,000 years. And they came from this. And it's always amazing. And I sit there and I think, God created it. I can watch that stuff because I know the truth, but how many young people are being deluded? When I was subbing, kids would talk about this age-old world of millions and millions of years, when you talk about it being just a young earth, they looked at you like, where'd you get that? God created it. God created the trees and the plants and all those things that he created to sustain life. Now, some scientists argue that life could not survive without sunlight. All right, they're saying if God did not create the sun until the third day, and he made the plant, or the fourth day, but he made the plants on the third day, there's no way that that life could sustain itself. We believe what is here because we know that God can sustain life for one more day. That whatever God did, and again, I can't explain it. I'm not a scientist. But I am a creationist, and I take the Bible literally. When God said he sustained it, that life survived at least one more day, I believe it. And this is where we would say life as we know it began on the third day. Okay, the trees, the plants, the things that we can look out and see. But God was able to sustain it for one more day. There's been times when the sun hasn't been out bright and the trees don't die overnight, do they? No. If God made them on the third day, but he didn't create the sunlight until the fourth, there's no issue there. So day 4, oh, I'm sorry, this is just the two parks. This is Yellowstone on one side and Crater Lake on the other. I forgot to put that in there. I'm sorry. But that's just, again, people say that's evolved, that didn't just come about, or that just came about, that wasn't created. But being in those places and looking at them, Russ has been there. Some of you have probably traveled, but these are just so beautiful. And when you see signs that says that island out in the middle for Crater Lake. That just came up over millions and millions of years. No, an intelligent designer designed that. And I got to enjoy it. We get to enjoy everything around us because of an intelligent creator designer. I'm sorry about that I put that on there. Day 4, I forgot that it was up there. So day 4, verses 14 to 19. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And they are for the signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens and give light upon the earth. And so it was. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God yet set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And again, God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. So in this day 4, God creates the sun, the moon, the stars, the lights that we see around us. And he creates the seasons. And to think about that, that's just an amazing, amazing thing to think that God had all this in order. I love the change of seasons. I know some of you want it just to be spring and summer all year round. I love the fall. Don't you? Do you think fall is beautiful? In the winter, nice. You guys are all sinners. You're arguing with God. The winter is beautiful. I mean, whether you like it the cold or not, the snow and the stuff in the trees. Cheryl, the other day, she pulled in and she said, look at the branch of the trees just hanging down over the driveway. But it was just gorgeous, the snow in it. But God created all that. God created the seasons. He adds length to the days. And by the way, we try to walk every night. And over the last couple months, it's been getting dark at 5 o'clock. So we're trying to get our walk in as early as we can. Now, the other day, it was almost 6:15, and it was still decent light out there. But consider all the things that the sun and the moon and the stars are responsible for. The tides, how we tell our time. It's just an incredible impact on all of life. And again, as I said, each day's creation was simply preparing the world to sustain life. He created the world, created the earth in the first day, and then the light and all those different things that came into being. But he's preparing for his greatest creation coming up. Day 5, let me back up first. Day 5 is verses 20 to 23. And God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with the water swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Day 5, life begins with, actual life, that breathing, the trees and things were done on day 4. But life begins with the fish in the seas and birds in the air. And God gave each creature this amazing ability to adapt. Again, watching some of those national park shows, it just talks about these birds that should not survive in the winter, but somehow they do because God sustained them. They were able to, some of these birds we watched the other day, dive underwater and go down like 40 feet, and they just have feathers. It's not like a penguin, but it's just a bird. And God's given them the ability to adapt. It's not evolution. It's God designing them that way. And it's an amazing thing. God is the creator. None of this came from nothing. Just keep that keep that in mind. We have every reason to trust in that. Then day 6. Excuse me. I'm not going to read all verses 24 to 31. But God said in verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. In one day, God created life that we see and know. We see one another. We were created from an intelligent designer, from the smallest ant to the largest animal, the largest mammal. Now, whales he created the day before, but when he created the sea life. But these huge animals that come about, and again, this is just not a side issue, but something that I hear Christians talk about. I've had young people talk about that. Pastor Ron, you're a pastor, you're a Christian. I know you don't believe in dinosaurs, so how do you expect or explain all these things where we find these large bones? Were dinosaurs actually created? Were there dinosaurs? I believe there were. I don't believe they're the type that we see necessarily in the books that we that you know. Not sure if it was a T-Rex or Tyrus, whatever all the names of them are. But I believe there were animals that grew large. In Job chapter 40, verses 15 to 24, let me read it. It says, "Behold, behemoth, which I made as I made you." I created this animal just like I made you. He said, "He eats grass like an ox. Behold, his strength is in his loins, and his power is in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs like bars of iron." I didn't put this all up there, but he is the first works of God. "Let him who made him bring near his sword, for the mountains yield food for him, and all the wild beasts play. Under the lotus plants he lies, in the shelters of the reeds and in the marsh. For his shade the lotus trees cover him, the willows of the brooks surround him. Behold, the river is turbulent. He is not frightened. He is confident, though Jordan rushes against his mouth. Can one take him by his eyes or pierce his nose with a snare?" This is Job talking about some kind of a huge animal. And many Christian theologians believe it was a type of dinosaur. Now, keep in mind that a reptile will grow its entire life. All right? If you have a little... completely lost my train of thought. But if you have a little reptile, if you could keep it 100 years, 200 years, 500 years like animals used to live, it would be take up this room. It would be big enough that it would be considered what we think of as a dinosaur. And then a couple more passages in Psalm chapter 74, he says, "You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness." Leviathan is explained a little bit better in Psalm 104. It says, "Oh, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, with teams which creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it." They said that these animals, the behemoth and the Leviathan, are just tremendously large animals. They would be probably what will be considered by many today as a dinosaur. But again, they continue to grow. Christians, we do not need to fear this. We don't need to fear when people talk about dinosaurs. If people lived to be 900 plus years back in beginning times, before the flood, we know that, again, a reptile could grow that entire time. An iguana living 900 years, I imagine, would be a very large animal. But I want you to listen to this story from, not story, but explanation from Answers in Genesis, Ken Hams, and some of you have been to the Ark. He said, "If we accept God's word beginning with Genesis as being true and authoritative, then we can explain dinosaurs and make sense of the evidence we observe in the world around us. In doing this, we're helping people to see that Genesis is absolutely trustworthy, logically defensible, and what it claims to be, the true account of the history of the universe and mankind. And what one believes concerning Genesis will ultimately determine what one believes about the rest of the Bible. This, in turn, will affect how a person views himself or herself, fellow human beings, and what life is all about. On this day, God made each according to their kinds. So a lion cannot give birth to a bear, a dog cannot parent a cat, and we know that there are changes within kinds, but God had made animals according to his design." So he goes on and explains that we are the ones that are created in God's image, but these animals that God created grew large. So don't be afraid to say, "Yeah, I can accept dinosaurs." We don't need to accept necessarily the fossils that they find and try to find a little chip of a spine over here and explain this came from this large animal here. We don't know that, but we do believe that animals grew and grew, and God did design what we would call dinosaurs. Day 7, God rested. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and it said, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day." God rested not because he needed sleep. He's not like you and I who get exhausted, that we get tired. I brought in a bunch of wood yesterday, and I have my shoulder, my nerve, and my neck was really bothering me this morning. And I was saying, what? You know, I couldn't remember exactly what I did. And Cheryl said, we brought in the wood. But, you know, we need rest. We get tired. We grow weary. God did not rest because he was tired. He gave us an example. Some of you need to learn to rest. I'm not going to look at anybody in particular, Sue, but some of us need to learn to rest. Sue said that she's read more books over these last few weeks, but she would be honest with you. I know she would tell you that she doesn't rest well. She does not take time for herself. God taught us this, that we can understand that we need to rest. I'm going to add something else. Let me just explain this, why I believe at a young earth. And again, there are some Christians who would tell you the earth may be millions of years old. We don't know. I don't believe that that is true. Let me read this. Adam was created on day six. There were 5 days before him. If we add up the dates from Adam to Abraham, we get about 2,000 years. If you look at Genesis 5 and chapter 11, and again, keep in mind there were people who lived 980 years. Some of them lived almost that whole time from Adam into Abraham. Some of those people that we read about in chapters 5 and 11 were alive when Abraham came about. But 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, and most scholars agree that Abraham lived about 2,000 years ago. So 4,000 years ago was about when the world was created. The answers in Genesis would go, they would even say that possibly 6,000 years ago, if you add up, if you're incorrect and adding some of your numbers there. So the world at most is 6,000 years old, not 2 million, as all these television programs believe and talk about. But God is the designer. And folks, I'm not, again, I didn't do this with you this morning to teach you anything new. Just to remind you, be confident in what we believe. Don't worry about people arguing with us and saying there's no way that happened in 5 days, God, or 6 days. God created it. God designed it. God said it. Believe it. That's inspired word of God. He inspired Moses to write this. Do not be afraid when you hear people talking about this old earth or that it came from this big explosion. Understand the word of God says God created it. Don't be afraid. I was going to say, don't be afraid to argue. Don't be afraid to stand on truth. We have God's word on our side. God's word is God's word. He was the writer. He was the designer. He was the creator. Father, I thank you for your awesome love for us. And Lord, there's things here that we don't always understand, especially because we can say we weren't there. We don't know everything that happened, but we take your word as your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be bold in our faith, in our trust, and to not be ashamed to believe in a six-day literal creation, that it didn't all come from nothing, but Lord, that you designed it, and we know through a relationship with your Son, the designer. And Father, we are so grateful that we have your word. Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to be embarrassed to stand on truth. And if we're around a group of people who talk about all this coming from nothing, help us to be able to lovingly say, I really believe in an intelligent designer who created it in 6 days. And Lord, we're thankful for the faithfulness of your word, the truth of your word. And Lord, if we can't believe the account in Genesis of creation, how can we believe what the Bible says about your Son's death? Lord, if part of the word of God is a lie, the rest of the word of God is a lie too. So Lord, we thank you that we can depend by faith on what you wrote to us. Lord, help us to live in this world boldly, knowing the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.